Hi, this is Hugh Cornwell, and welcome to this Mr. DeMille FM podcast. If you have any comments, suggestions, or simply want to get in touch, then please email info@mrdemillefm.com. This episode looks at the work of actress Mimsy Farmer, an underrated ingenue. I hope you enjoy the show. Mention the name Mimsy Farmer to most movie fans and you'll get a blank look. Yet during the 60s, 70s and 80s, she worked with some of the most talented filmmakers in America and Europe, and the music that went with those films gives us one of the best shows we've ever had here on Mr. DeMille FM. She was born in Chicago in 1945, where her dad was a journalist on the Chicago Tribune. Her mother was French, and the family moved to Los Angeles when she was 4 years old, where she was educated. When she was 16, she was spotted by a press agent and got a bit part with one line in a film called Gidget Goes Hawaiian in 1961. The experience made her take up acting lessons after high school, and she appeared in several Roger Corman pictures. Hot Rods to Hell, Devil's Angels, The Wild Races, and Riot on Sunset Strip, in which she manages to pull off a remarkable dance sequence as her character starts to feel the effects of LSD. This film is a time capsule from the era, a counterculture exploitation film seeking to make money from the youth rioting that happened the year before on the Strip. In fact, this role would be one that Mimsy played repeatedly throughout her career, that of the victim. That same year, she starred opposite a young John Cassavetes in Devil's Angels, and the following year with the singer Fabian in The Wild Races. Just check this out. Mm-hmm. Mimsy then got cast in More, the Pink Floyd film of the album, which wasn't a bad film, but was suffocated by the aura attached to the group at that time. Ably directed by Barbe Schroeder and co-starring Klaus Grünberg, it's basically an anti-drugs film, but very enjoyable. The early scenes between Grünberg and Farmer are very touching as they get to know one another, partly due to Paul Gegauf, the brilliant French dialogue writer, and she showed another side of her acting abilities. Around this time, she took a holiday in Italy and met her future husband there, an Italian scriptwriter, who wanted to write a part for her into the film he was working on. But he got fired from the project, and her part was never cast. She decided to stay on in Italy and got married.
We smile and smile. We smile and smile. Laughter echoes in your eyes. We climb.
In 1970, she was cast in The Road to Selina, a mystery directed by Georges Lautner opposite Rita Hayworth in one of her final roles, who plays her mother. It was also Ed Begley's final film. It was shot in the Canary Islands, and the locations are mysteriously remote enough to fit the story very well. It's an intriguing film, and you'll be kept interested throughout.
Wanna find you
The next year, she was cast in Dario Argento's Four Flies on Grey Velvet opposite Michael Brandon. She's probably the only actress to have 12 cars wrecked in order to get her death scene right. This film proved to be the last one Dario Argento made with Ennio Morricone for 20 years, as they had a falling out. The film had the first slow-mo bullet effect ever, decades before The Matrix and other Asian films. Even if the giallo genre isn't your thing, this film is worth watching for its playful experimenting, and it showcases Argento's unique style, showing why he's unfairly compared to Alfred Hitchcock. Mimsy worked with Alain Delon and Jean Gabin in Two Men in Town soon after this, but the film was lackluster, concerning itself with ideology rather than a fine script. But it was directed by José Giovanni, who had written the source novel for the classic Le Trou back in 1960, about a prison breakout, a great film. In 1974, she appeared in probably her finest film, Perfume of the Lady in Black. It's an exquisitely made film about the descent into madness of a sensitive and beautiful introverted girl working in Rome. This film completely focused her skills as an actress, and it's easy to see why there are comparisons between her and Roman Polanski's two ingenues, Catherine Deneuve and Mia Farrow, from Repulsion and Rosemary's Baby. It's directed by Francesco Barilli, and he did a great job. You begin to think it's a giallo, but then it takes on a completely different flavour, where the difference between what's real and what's imagined is hard to see. Thank you. Then she made two interesting films in France. First, The Suspects, which was an interesting whodunit involving several suspects all over France as the police try to find out who killed Mimsy. It could almost have been directed by Robert Bresson for its lack of involvement, but Michelle Wynn's film is worth watching as the clues are brought together. The other French film was called La Traque, where she is literally hunted by a group of country locals after being taken advantage of by one of them. This features almost all of the finest actors in France at the time, and the script is great. It was directed by Serge Leroy. Many consider Autopsy, made in 1975 with director Armando Crispino, to be her finest work, and I can see why. It's a bit too derivative of Dario Argento's work for my liking, but Mimsy does a good job in the lead role. The plot unravels as the film progresses, as do Mimsy's clothes, and it's all a bit superficial for me, but it's saved by a great Morricone score. Thank you. In 1979, she starred in Concord Affair, a Ruggiero Deodato thriller with a most ingenious plot. An airline conglomerate headed by Joseph Cotton decides to conspire to decommission the Concorde airplane by making one of them crash. They test the method on a test flight and everyone is killed except Mimsy, the air hostess. A noisy reporter from New York finds out what's going on. It's a real classic, this one, and the pacing is as good as it gets, accompanied by a fine score from Silvio Cipriani. Mimsy continued her acting career into the 1980s, and she made The Girl from Trieste with Ben Gazzara and Ornella Muti, which is an enigmatic film about an artist who meets and falls in love with a girl he saves from drowning on the beach. Pasquale Festa Campanile directed, and Riz Ottolani didn't do too badly with the score.
Thank you.
The year before this, she worked in the UK on a Lucio Fulci film called The Black Cat, loosely based on an Edgar Allan Poe story. Patrick McGee, in his final role, excels as a hermit-like man with a past who lives alone in the village with his black cat. It's a pretty good movie, although there are far too many shots of the cat's eyes. But with a good edit, this film could be reappraised. Lucio Fulci does a great job behind the camera, and the cat's POV shots are great as it steals through the film, running amok. Ruggero Deodato's Body Count helped close down the 1980s for Mimsy, but by now she'd remarried a French sculptor and her sculpture work was providing more interest, and she stopped acting in films in 1990. And these days she and her husband work on all the big blockbuster film sets around the world. As you've just heard, in her modest film career, she worked with some of the most talented people in the film business, and the music associated with the film she made really stands out. You may be wondering where her unusual name comes from. It derives from a Lewis Carroll book, The Jabberwocky, and it sits well with the style of most of her later European films. I quote, "All mimsy were the borogroves." And the meaning of the word mimsy? Unhappy. Thank you for listening.